Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at Avengers Podcast. That is A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S, Avengers Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are available. If you like the show and you want to support, go to patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. You can find exclusive content you can't find anywhere else, and we greatly appreciate that support. If you also like the show, consider giving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It goes a long way with us getting eyes and ears on the show, and we just appreciate you. I'm one of your hosts, Brandon, and I'm joined by my two hosts, Emmy. How are you doing?
I feel like a hot plate of garbage that's tired and on fire and a little bit slap happy. Did you see me moon you during the intro?
I did. It was one. Yeah, I was like, Emmy, but I kept it together. Clinton, how are you, sir?
I'm doing bloody great.
Bloody great. You're doing bloody great.
Bloody great.
A couple of listeners love our UK accents because we have bloody great ones.
Well,
mine's Australian.
Peggy Carter.
Peggy Carter. Mine is Australian if I get a little too loud.
We're starting this too early. We need to suck them in first and then do the British accent.
Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Hey. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is how I talk.
Yeah, Clinton's British. We just found that out.
Ben was listening to the podcast and then turned it off and turned it back on and I guess had his volume way too loud and turned it back on to me screaming my British accent into his ears.
Well, that's awesome.
Somehow said that he's going to keep listening. So,
well, guys, speaking of keep on listening, we're here to review episode 1 of What If, Marvel Studios' new animated series. So if you have not seen episode 1 of What If, just a heads up, guys, spoilers and speculation ahead. So we're going to dive deep into this one. Cannot wait to talk about this one. But guys, Marvel Studios animated. This is the first animated thing we've ever reviewed. So it was kind of a new chapter for Marvel Studios.
And Marvel did that on purpose with us. Like, we've been collaborating allegedly trying, work together to release content at
allegedly.
The same time.
Allegedly.
Yeah, this is our first animated show, and this is their first animated show.
So thank you, Marvel Studios.
Worked out really well.
Appreciate you collaborating with us allegedly on this.
I'm really sorry, guys. I watched the wrong show. I thought we were supposed to watch iCarly.
Oh, son of a... Okay, sorry. I'll edit the title. This is iCarly, episode 1, spoilers and review.
We said it was going to be about Peggy Carter, and she was like, iCarter?
Yeah,
iCarter.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of which, guys,
let's keep going.
I just want to thank we have two new patrons. Joe
Patrones. Two new Patrones.
Yes. Joe Steamley. Steimle. How would you say that?
Steimley.
I agree. Joe Steimley and April. Thank you both so much for being our patrons. Thank you so much for subscribing. We greatly appreciate your support.
Choo-choo, bitch.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo, bitch.
Let's keep on rolling.
This is one hell of a one.
Oh, man. This is episode 1. And this one, I believe, and we're not going to dive deep just yet, so no worries. We're about to get into that soon. But what if Captain Carter were the first Avenger? Very unique episode. We'll go into our thoughts as well. Clinton,
dramatically. It's actually, what if Captain Carter was the first Avenger?
But the episode is were the first.
Is it really?
It is. They said were.
Can we cut that out?
You just corrected Marvel Studios. They're never going to reach out to us again, allegedly.
I was probably wrong then.
Oh, we're going to leave that in there.
Were is the correct pronunciation of that.
But you wouldn't say Captain Carter were the first Avenger.
What if
Captain Carter was?
What if Captain Carter were the first Avenger? What if it starts with?
But what is a question if not?
What is statement? What is love if
persevering?
Not
persevering?
What is grief if not love persevering or prevailing? What is it? I don't remember. Vision. He was way better at it than me. Emmy, do we have some Rotten Tomatoes to get to for this episode?
Of course.
All right. So
you guys want to guess?
This is interesting because this is an animated series, so I don't know if the scale's any different. I have never been more lost guessing.
I would imagine. Wouldn't the scale be the same?
I mean, yeah.
I'm not going to give you any.
I mean, they're not going to.
I feel like, Power Rangers got a higher score than Ghost Rider. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like scales differ based on what you're watching.
Especially if you're a fish.
I'm going to say.
Bad, good.
Yeah, that was great. Hold on. Okay. There you go. Yes.
No, that should have been a womp womp.
Oh, should it? Should have been a womp womp? Okay. Well, I am going to say 78% for this episode. Not this episode, this series so far. I think it's great. And it's funny because I think Captain America the First Avenger was 78, 79%. So I'm trying to put it in that same realm, if anyone's wondering why I'm going there. So 78% for me.
Oh. Critic or audience?
I go critic every time.
I feel like you always take so much time, but you always know it's coming.
Do I know what's coming? What do you mean?
Every single time we do this.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes score every single time. Like, you should have written it down in your notes. Oh, wait, you don't take any.
Listen, I have a busy life, and I can mentally hold notes, okay?
Ooh.
Teacher.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm going to say 85%.
Nice. Good score.
All right, critics gave it an 87%.
Nice, Clinton.
Audiences gave it an 84%. IMDb, the Google said an 8.5, but when you actually click on IMDb, it says an 8.2. So I'm not sure what's up with that. And 87% of Google users enjoyed this.
Nice. Good
stuff. Was it a any type of different scale? It was just the same. They just treat it like a normal show, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it.
I don't know why. I always feel like it's graded differently when it's animated. That's just my brain. I'm not saying it's
right. Let me look.
I just, no, I mean, like I said, I think it's just how my brain thinks of it, because compared to other animated series, I don't know.
They need to make their.
So
look at, more look up friendly. The score. Look up the score for Space Jam, A New Legacy.
Oh, shit.
Space Jam, A New Legacy got like 27%. It was crap. Oh, it's
80, oh, it went to 85 and 85.
85 and 85 as of this recording.
Within, because
so I was right on, guys.
Good job, dude.
Came home and watched it and then did the research and then had to jump on, and I was 2 minutes late still.
Sure it's consistently changing as people are watching it, obviously.
So, guys, let's give our thoughts. We know Rotten Tomatoes score. We know basically everyone's score at this point. Let's.
Sorry, excuse me. Y'all can cut that if you would like.
No, we'll keep it in. We'll show our
humble. No,
it's not. I was talking in the middle of it, so I don't know how I'm going to cut it. Actually, we'll start again. I'll cut it here. So, guys, we've heard that the Rotten Tomatoes score, we've heard of the IMDb, we've heard of everything. So, what was our thoughts on What If? Clinton, let's start with you.
What were our thoughts?
Sorry, Emmy. What were our thoughts? Clinton, we're going to start with you, sir.
I'm back in teacher mode. I'm so sorry.
We love you for it.
What were my thoughts?
What were your thoughts?
Where were? That was good. I really actually was surprised. Mm-hmm. I was a little unsure going into this, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
My first thoughts watching it was, Emmy and Brandon are going to be stoked because of two points.
Where?
Emmy, mute your mic if you're going to correct us.
Okay,
while talking.
If you're going to correct my grammar while I talk,
yeah,
you might want to leave the room.
Yes.
I'm really sorry.
You're going to be here a long night, Emmy. We're going to have to, like, every Clinton sentence, stop. This is.
Oh, and I don't need you to insinuate I'm dumb, Brandon.
I think it's just was and were is hitting me right now. Emmy, is for singular Emmy, subjects. Stop. Were is for
Emmy. Let it
plural
go.
Subjects. Emmy. Okay, sorry. Your first thoughts were
in Frozen terminology. Let it go.
Your first thoughts say that, was.
So what I was thinking when I watched this old film, I was really pleased with it, to be honest with you. My first thoughts were Brandon's going to love this because there's so many callbacks to Captain America and so many winks, and damn, if we have to hear about them dancing anymore, I don't know.
Get the hell out of my podcast.
Jesus.
Clint. Don't know. My name is Brandon, not Jesus. Get that straight.
They need to make a Dance Revolution game based on Peggy and Steve.
It's just that one song.
All they talk about. I bet when Steve aged,
it's just that one song every song.
He went back in time.
This sucks.
They didn't really have a lot to say to each other, and they lived their life together in Endgame. All they talked about, do you remember when we danced? Do you remember talking about dancing? Do you remember how I was frozen for 70 years and then we danced?
Which one? This universe dance, or dance, the other dance? Universe when you were frozen for 70 years?
Jesus.
Yeah.
So I knew Brandon would love the appeal to the Captain America movie. And I love that Emmy would like the strong female lead and how they really call it out in this, you know, mm-hmm. and they're like,
you are judging a lot.
Telling sir. You should be luckier in the room kind of thing. And mm-hmm. then she says it at the end. And that was just chef's kiss when she got to say it back at the end. So yep. it was a lot more fast paced than I expected it to be. And I didn't yes. expect it to be a 30-minute episode. I thought it would be longer, but when you think of animated shows growing up, like they're 30-minute episodes, right?
Right.
And they usually have commercials.
Yeah.
So this was
pretty lengthy
for an animated. And they cover a lot of ground and do it well, I think. I think they covered it well.
I'm going to go next because I want to save Emmy's thoughts for last. Because first off, Clinton's acting like he knows us, Emmy, which really pisses me off. Like, oh, Brandon's going to love it because it's Captain America First Avenger. Emmy's going to love it because it's a strong female. Screw you, Clinton. I got some words for you, all right? I love this episode because there were so many Captain
America. You're completely
right. You're completely right. Captain America the First Avenger. I love the callbacks. I was grinning ear to ear watching a lot of this. I thought it was such a cool. I almost felt like I was watching a familiar movie. I don't know how to describe it. I've never had this feeling before.
Would you say it was low-hanging fruit, though?
No, I wouldn't. No. But I would say this is really good. Like, I don't know. I was really shocked at how much it felt familiar but different, but I loved every second of it. I loved the Watcher narrating at the beginning and the end. It tied it really good. Like, I don't know.
I loved the animation, too.
The animation style was wonderful.
I really like that style.
Some of the humor almost reminded me of comic books. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, did someone order calamari? I'm like, okay. Like, that just felt like...
Comics are like old Looney Tunes is what it reminded me of. Like, we're going to cut the scene just zooming into the
Yeah, face, but like the humor, too, is just so, like, a little bit cheesier, but not in a bad way. I enjoyed it. It just didn't feel like it took itself as seriously as the movies do sometimes. And I know that they're funny, too. But, like, the calamari joke, I don't know if that would have made it in. I don't know. And to hear familiar voices such as Haley Atwell as Agent Carter, and I think Sebastian Stan returned for Bucky mm-hmm. Barnes on this.
And can I just say, he just is effing fine in cartoon form as he is in real life.
I'm pretty sure one of our listeners said that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure someone on Twitter told us that as well. Just a fantastic, fun show to start out with. And yeah, it's awesome. So, Clinton, assuming that's what you get for assuming, because you're spot on. And yeah. So, Emmy, I wanted to save your thoughts for last. Our resident Agent Carter, or Captain Carter, I should say. What is your thoughts on what if Captain Carter were the First Avenger?
I would also like to chastise Clinton for assuming that I would enjoy the strong female lead and the big old middle finger that she gives to all of the Well, and I say all of the men who act like dicks in this, it's really just Colonel Flynn.
Colonel Flynn, yeah. Screw you.
Who is was really in Agent Carter.
Oh!
He was never, okay, so he was never in Marvel movies or anything. He was an Agent Carter, and this is the same guy that was voicing him in this as the same actor that played him in the show.
Okay, well, good stuff, anyway.
Man. Good stuff.
I can't believe that you would assume that I would enjoy that because I absolutely bloody loved it. It was amazing.
Clinton doesn't know shit.
I'm trying to think what I don't know if there's anything that really catered to me in this episode.
If I had to criticize anything, I loved the animation style because it was very very comic book like. It kind of looked like Into the Spider-Verse, and it kind of I liked how they used like the light in a lot of different ways to kind of like mm-hmm. bring you into like a 3D world almost.
Yeah.
Even though it was just 2D.
It almost had a watercolor feel to me.
Well, I felt like Clinton whenever he sees Peggy when she's old.
Clinton.
And like, who did I, what?
You said when Clinton sees Peggy?
That's what I meant. When Clinton sees Peggy when she's old. And you say her mouth doesn't quite move right. That kept sucking me out of it, that the cartoon's mouths didn't move perfectly like human mouths. And I know that's such a nitpicky thing, but it really took me out just a little bit.
Gotcha.
That will be my one nitpicky thing.
Was it because she didn't smile enough?
That's absolutely not what it was. Because I think she smiled plenty. She was real pleased with herself. Did y'all see that?
Can I?
That's what she said in her British accent.
I loved it. But can I also say, and I don't mean any offense to it, because I really enjoyed What If. I really, really did. But I got to say, a notch above it is Spider-Verse. I thought that animation was just on another level,
in
my personal opinion. I thought it was a good animation style, but Into the Spider-Verse, I remember just almost being blown away. And maybe it was because it was the first time I ever saw it. So it's got that going for it.
Well, no, it still holds up too.
Okay,
there's cool. Nothing really out there like it.
Okay, cool. I for me, Into the Spider-Verse, another level, and I can't believe I'm saying that about a Sony movie, but they really killed it with that.
But it is really like two, like it's those two are a different style than like we just started watching Hercules in my homeroom because my kids haven't seen classic Disney movies, and I feel like it is my job in homeroom, because that's not academic time, to expose them to these classic Disney movies.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
And we're starting with Hercules because it's amazing.
I think we need a What If episode of What If Bucky and Steve got together.
I'd be down.
Ow!
I was going to save it for
you. Can literally Reddit all the fan fiction in the world because they've already written it, dude.
So, oh, I know, but.
Yeah, just saying, it exists. It's just not Marvel Studios canon yet.
I was going to save it for the news episode, but we haven't recorded that yet. And I probably won't remember until we do.
Oh,
I read an article about
text me
how,
now. Text me now. So we'll remember it.
Join our Patreon for what I was about to say. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
No, go for it.
I read an article about how Kevin Feige is kind of, I wouldn't say upset, but he's, he wants Marvel to venture more into the queer characters, and that, you know, most of them so far, like that one line in Loki has kind of been
the only,
like, if you take it out, that's fine. If you take out the character who says that he went on a date with a dude, like it would still, like Avengers Endgame wouldn't change. Like it's just
more
the way
consequential
that put them in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's
like,
he's
have kind their of, lovers with them. Or,
yeah. He's kind of pushing for like, yeah, more integral to the story.
More sex scenes, basically.
Oh god. Yeah.
More open mouth kissing.
Yeah.
Did you see that they confirmed in their latest comic with DC that Robin is bisexual?
I did see that. It's been all over Twitter today. And yesterday. Yeah,
pretty cool.
I did not know that, actually. Good stuff.
Yeah. It was not the Rob, it's not the normal Robin that we think of. What's his name?
Tom DeLay.
No, there's so many iterations of Robin, but it's not
Travis Barker.
No,
Jesus, Mark Hoppus.
It's something like that.
Oh,
it's one of the members of
Blink. All the Tim Drake, bisexuals. True care. Okay. Anyway,
God, if Gina was here, she could tell me.
It's something.
It's not coming to me. Anyway, it's
Robin Blake.
But they did make it canon that he is bisexual. Nice. And he was dating a dude.
That's awesome. So, guys, obviously we've talked about our What If episode one thoughts. Are we ready to dive into the very beginning? Hey, yeah, dude. Okay, I'll answer for you guys.
I looked down at my notes and was not listening. I'm so sorry that I missed my cue for Hell yeah, dude.
So what if Captain Carter were the first Avenger? Well, we start with the Watcher. Time, space, reality. It's more than a linear path. It's a prism of endless possibility where a single choice can branch out to infinite realities, creating alternate worlds from the ones you know. I'm the Watcher. I am your guide through these vast new realities. Follow me and ponder the question, what if? Boom.
Fun fact about the Watcher. What was this one's name? He's got a name and I can't remember it. The Watchers are a race that is so old that they don't remember their race's name. And so they call themselves the Watchers, and they don't get involved in situations. They just observe. But originally one did get involved, and I think it's the one narrating this,
yeah,
whatever his name is.
Stan Lee.
It's not Stan Lee. Oh, you're talking about from the Guardians movie?
Yeah, well, everybody hypothesized that he was a Watcher.
Was it the Guardians?
I think so, yeah, because they're jumping through.
Yeah, and But they originally, one of them got involved and it caused like all kinds of consequence. That's why they don't get involved now.
Oh, wow.
But they're very powerful beings and they've been around for a very, very long time.
And have we seen them in Marvel Cinematic Universe lore yes. before? Which movie? Quiz time.
It's Guardians, right?
Guardians 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
We already had that conversation.
Son of a gun.
Yeah.
I need to stop.
Son of a James gun.
I literally walked away for 5 seconds. My bad. Okay.
Yeah. Even before that, too, though, we've got a makeover for the logo. We've got a little animated little thing. It's like, hey, you're in Marvel, but not your mama's Marvel.
I really was wondering if they were going to put like Marvel Studios animated or if it was going to be any kind of different. Like,
they did announce they're going to do an animated.
And so one of our listeners, I believe this was Nader, that's really been kind of pushing hard on this, you know, hoping that kind of Marvel crosses over into like the Star Wars territory where like the Clone Wars are part of the actual, mm-hmm. you know, Star Wars lore. It's not like, oh, this is its own little animated thing. We'll brush it off to the side. Like all these animated shows are still consequential to the real life, you know? And I think that's an interesting take. And I think that's an interesting ask. And we've not seen it done for Marvel Studios before. What are you thinking, Amy?
I have a question, and this might be a question for the listeners because I did not research this and I don't know how much you guys know about Star Wars. Is there anything in like the animated Star Wars shows that have been pulled from the animated series into the movies?
Yes. Clone Wars all day. Mandalorian.
I don't know what that means.
But I guess
the Clone Wars is an animated show.
Short answer, yes, Emmy. I will. It will take a whole podcast to educate you. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's just more of a yes, it has. That's yes. And so that's, okay. And a lot of people are wanting the same thing for Marvel Studios, where, hey, like, and I really, and I tweeted this on our Avengers podcast Twitter, where I really feel like this is almost kind of like potentially auditions for certain shows, you know, like, hey, mm-hmm. if Captain Carter takes off, let's make a movie out of it. If this takes off, let's, you know, and it's just and they can easily branch it through multiple timelines now that they've opened up what they have with Loki and WandaVision. So it's interesting. It's a very interesting time.
It feels so free.
Right.
Didn't one of the producers or directors of this say that it is going to be canon?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not read that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they've said it multiple times and that they're...
That's my apologies.
And then the rumor mill is that Captain Carter is actually going to show up in Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one.
Sign me the hell up. Any Hayley Atwell I can get, I will take. She is one. She is.
Make sure that you have consent first. Gross.
Wow. Emmy.
Looking for something, Amy. You're just looking for
you
something.
You were just, that was not even low-hanging fruit. That was like medium-high fruit, and she's like, I'm going to pluck it anyway.
I'm going to do a standing jump. I'm going to box jump that.
Nice.
Get that fruit.
Got to get that apple in my basket. All right, anyway, so yeah, that's really cool, though. And Amy, to your point, you said something where they're opening up free because they've created all these universes where you can have this freedom. I think that's an important topic, Amy.
They're like, we're going to rip off Captain America for animated, and we're going to have it as a woman, and we're just going to make the same dialogue from Captain America.
I don't know if it's the same.
I'm just messing. I'm being an asshole.
Oh, it's okay. I love you. What you got,
Amy? If I could give Marvel any advice...
Listen up, Marvel.
Hey,
listen up.
Hey, Kevin Feige, if you're allegedly listening like you always do.
Yo, Kevin, you need to employ some kids. My students love to play What If. We've been going over like classroom and school expectations this week because it's the first week in the building with kids and some of them were virtual last week. So we've been really doing. And it's just, you know, it's what if question after what if question. And don't it's just. Crazy that, some of the stuff
I remember still even through high school it was like what if it turned out this way, like what if you did that, like it's a clever name too for this series,
a tale as old as time, guys.
Yeah, what if a shark jumped out of the floor and ate me right now? Just like there's no sense worrying about it. If it happens, you can't do anything about it. What if one of my kids is like, what if somebody gives you a fake number for their parents and then you can't call home? It's like, you don't think that we would, like, we're not going to ask you for the phone number when you're in trouble. Like, that's in a system at the school. Like, we can we will call home. Don't worry.
Hey, since you constantly lie and belittle others, what's your parents' phone number?
what if we had a healthcare system that actually took care of people?
Anyway, we're going to move on, guys. That got heavy. So we.
Oh,
yes.
I did want to admit, I just wanted to point out time, space, reality, right?
Correct. We've got
three really.
That song is done, Emmy. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. Oh. That song is done.
Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there
the stones.
Okay, well, there's stones. Okay, well, there's stones. Fine. What were the. What?
You're naming the stones.
What are we missing? Soul. That's also abstract. Never mind.
Soul. Mind.
Time, space, reality.
Soul, mind. Gosh, what's the other one? Oh.
Space.
We already got space. Time, space, reality, soul, mind. What's the sixth one?
Power.
Power. Good
also,
job.
Also abstract. You They're all abstract. Never mind. My point is stupid.
You know there's a listener like, power, you son of a bitch. Like, oh, man. And I don't blame you if you're listening and you were
well, like Clinton said, it's over. So it's over. I've pushed that out and pushed new stupid information into my brain.
Emmy's an infinity stoner.
Yeah. So we are going to dive.
Not true.
We're going to dive first into this episode. We are in Earth, June 1943. The Allied armies created a new kind of soldier, a super soldier. We're kind of getting the backstory of the first Avenger. A skinny kid from Brooklyn became Captain America, turning the tide of World War II and made the ultimate sacrifice. And in another universe, one choice created a whole new hero. I thought that was a very unique way to introduce this whole show.
They kind of let you know, hey, this did happen, but this is a different universe.
Sure is.
And I like that they pointed out, like, this is the point, which maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but they're like, this is the choice. This is what happened to force this branch.
And they do.
And it was just her standing in the room when it happened.
Correct. It's
Peggy. In the room where it happened.
Emmy.
What? No. Have you guys watched Hamilton yet?
Emmy, no. Peggy and
Have you watched Hamilton yet?
No! Emmy, we're going to keep going. Peggy and Steve.
Oh, Peg.
Oh, Pegs and Steves. Peggy and Steve, okay. Sal,
I bet she pegged Steve.
After she got the serum or before she got it. Clinton, never mind. We're not going to answer that question. We're going to keep going. So she says, okay, I'll see you at the site. And she and they say, hey, you need to sit up there. I think. And she goes, no, I prefer to stay instead of going to the booth. And we see there. And we even hear this narrator there. That's the moment that created a whole new universe. Margaret Peggy Carter chose to stay. And one decision changed the entire landscape and a new hero was formed. I thought that was a really cool point how they pointed that out in like, hey, here's where it branches right here. And it was right at the beginning. You didn't have to wait a long time because we all know the story of the first Avenger. We don't know the story of Captain Carter. I like that a lot.
First Peg.
The first Peg happened in the universe at this point. The first
1943.
June 1943.
The invention of the peg.
We all started pegging after that. So, what did you do before June 1943? We just played with sticks and rocks. We didn't know. We didn't know pegging was out there. So we...
We hadn't got that creative yet.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry if you're listening for the first time.
I didn't know it felt so good.
Oh, God. Okay, we're going to keep going. So we see that she notices a lighter. She kind of quickly acts. There's an explosion.
It's not a lighter, is it? It's a switch for the explosion.
It's like a detonator. But, yeah. it was probably in a Zippo lighter. Like, that's easy to get through security somewhere.
That's how I've always thought of it. Am I wrong? I always thought it was a Zippo lighter disguised as the switch.
When were Zippo lighters invented?
I don't think it's a Zippo. I think it's just a switch, but it looks like a Zippo.
I just opened my phone to what I Googled before we got on the podcast, and it was jarring.
I'm not going to ask. So anyway.
Oh, you know, I said it out loud.
Okay, so American inventor George G. Blastell founded Zippo Manufacturing Company in 1932 and produced the first Zippo lighter in early 1933. So it
could have been a Zippo.
I feel a little vindicated there. Stark, we see panic ensues. this guy shoots Steve. Peggy ends up shooting the guy who launched the Zippo lighter, and he drops the serum at that point. And we see this panic of, we can't do this. Stark, get in there. Steve, get in there. Like, Steve's been shot. Like, she's like, he's like, Steve, get up, get in there.
Wouldn't that heal him?
What?
Wouldn't it help him if he got in there?
Yeah, but he can't get up because he's not serumed at that point.
But he's tiny. Peggy could have picked him up.
Picked him up and just shove him in there and close the door and be like, yeah, he'll be all right. This is an easy bake oven. You're going to do just fine.
Either he's going to
die. There, little guy.
He's either going to die from a gunshot wound or a $600,000 experiment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well,
or both,
and isn't Howard like, I'm a scientist. I'm not getting in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm here to push buttons.
It just chaos ensues, and then Agent Carter.
If it was me, my ass would have just been like, I wouldn't have asked anybody. I've just ran in it and got in. You know, like ran to it. Everyone was like acting like, who's going to get in it? If I was in that room, I would just ran myself over there and got in.
Captain
Clinton. Yeah, but I think that the show made it really clear that misogyny was a big thing back in the
40s.
Yeah, so
that's shocking to hear. Really?
Yeah,
it really.
So
is.
I think that she probably had that in the back of her brain before she like went in there. I'm just saying.
And Peggy does get in there. She says, it has to be now. We won't get another shot at this. This is our only chance now. And she gets in there, and Stark, they even say, Stark, don't you do that. Howard Stark's the man. Let's just be real. Howard Stark's like, he immediately, like, they're like, don't you do it. And he gets the knob and he's like, he turns it, yeah, he turns it up and he's like, screw you, dude. Of course I'm going to do this. And I love
very
that.
Very Stark.
Yes, fashion. Exactly. It was very on brand with that last name. And I enjoyed that so much. He was, yep. Captain Carter, here we come, son.
I can't tell if that sounds like a handle being pushed or a fart trying to be hid.
Both.
While you're sitting down.
Actually, I think he was farting. I can't do it now. But yeah, the Agent Carter, the serum is in, and we see that the machine begins, like the chamber closes, there's rumbling, the machine finally slows down, the chamber opens up, and Peggy is buff, son.
It is exactly the same. It's the same camera movements. It's the same. It's the same. Es la misma.
It's the same. It's the same. I was here for it. And then we see Peggy. Wow. And an absolute success, Stark says. But I love that Steve got shot and he's like, Peggy, wow. Like, dude, you're shot. Like, what do you say?
Like, I'm shot and injured, but why do I have an erection?
But I'm shot. I'm shot with love, too.
I'm shot and I'm going to shoot my shot.
Oh, I like that. Oh.
Done been shot, going to shoot my shot.
Yeah, I like that, Emmy. And so we see that, I love their, like, Stark goes, an absolute success. And Colonel Flynn, an absolute failure. $60 million down the drain. I was promised an army and all I got was a girl. Someday, if we're lucky, your blood might tell us how to make a real super soldier. They're not soldiers. They don't fight on the front lines. Females, they only are scared that they might break a nail.
Shut up, Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this Director Dick all over again?
This is Colonel Dick.
This is Colonel Dick. Yeah.
Colonel Dick is over.
Yeah. Colonel Cock.
Colonel Cock reporting for duty.
He's over, sorry. Director Dick.
Yeah. I believe it, because this guy's a douche.
Of course, the rage in me took this moment to pause. And do you guys want a little bit of a history lesson?
Of course we want a history lesson.
Of course. So there were over 350,000 American women who either volunteered for women-only battalions in the Army, Navy, all of these different places. They would work in the Army. They would go to the front lines, some of them. They worked as nurses. Some of them took desk jobs so that the men could go to the front lines, like free them up. Because they're, you know, whatever. So they also took like factory jobs to make things that were used in the war in World War II.
Right.
There were 1,600 nurses that were decorated for bravery under fire. 565 Women's Army Auxiliary Corps women. That's redundant, but they won combat decor. Okay, they might break a nail, but they were also like, and this is just like, from America, because World War II was I don't know if you could have guessed it, but it was like the whole world.
That's pretty stellar, though. It really is. And that's badass. That may just be the American stats, but there were women all over the world fighting and busting
all over the world fighting, and mostly were helping. They were integral in us winning the war.
I agreed, and we couldn't have done it without them. And I completely love that stat, Emmy.
You're welcome.
Yeah. No. No, I loved it. And
you're welcome. You're welcome for the stat, and also for women everywhere. just being badasses. Yeah. I'm you're welcoming on behalf of all women.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate you. So we see that she punches a bag similar to Steve. We saw this at the end of the first Avenger and the very beginning of the Avengers. And she throws a weight through the wall like the shield. I thought that was a really cool, interesting moment. When we saw that weight go through the wall, I'm like, oh, she getting that shield, son.
It's not the first one. And also she kick flips it up like Cap does in the elevator.
Yes, good point.
She does that little... that little cool move.
Very cool.
But it's, there's a ton in the wall already. She's done that a couple times.
Just a bit. Colonel. Good point.
Colonel Cock got under her skin.
And I don't blame her for being pissed at all. And we see Steve talking to her like, well, it could be worse. You could be going on crazy USO tours, putting on a crazy costume, tell you to smile 10 times a day. Sounds like a man who's had experience in an alternate universe, guys.
What a callback.
What a callback. I know that's shocking to hear.
But at the same time, like, obviously that's kind of what their plans were for her.
Right.
But like, how would he have known that? He's been in the sick ward.
I don't think it was the plan for her. I think it was just a little wink at.
I think it was, because they even said this was the suit that was going to be for your USO tours, but I changed it up a little bit. He says, Howard Stark says that later on. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So that was the plan. Yes.
I missed that part. Okay.
He says something like, I stand corrected. Or something.
That's all good, homie. And I love that, Peggy. I love this line. We have people. We all have people fighting for us. Sure would be nice to have us fight for them. And I thought that was a really beautiful, poignant line. You know, there's even in the animated series, there's these beautiful little quick moments. And then she goes, sorry, I know you were meant to end the war. And I love Steve. The way he doesn't say, well, now you will. He says, now you will. Like, in a very, like, you got this. You know, like, how he says it is everything here. Because when I wrote it down, I made sure to make a point here. It's not just, well, now you will. You know, it was a beautiful moment between Steve and Peggy, and it follows up with, I was never much of a dancer anyway, which is Clinton's favorite callback. And we hear that Peggy goes, perhaps you haven't found the right partner. And they smile and they share a sweet moment. It's a really beautiful connection. And we see here, regardless of who got the serum, the connection between these two souls and spirits remain the same. And I love that. I absolutely love that connection. It wasn't just because he became muscular and she's like, oh, I dig you now. It was their connection from the very start. And we all knew that. But this just also in another universe where Peggy looks like China from the WWF, it still exists. It's really, really cool. So I thought that was awesome.
She could fit Steve in her back pocket. He didn't need that suit.
I think she would love it.
She would trust him as far as she could throw him, and I think that she could throw him very far.
That's the best ever. Yes, so really, really cool stuff, guys. So we see that you know, we see the
all through this episode, I think of that meme, the Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, they said it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Because there's so many callbacks to the first Avenger.
Oh, it's the whole series.
The train with Bucky, and he about falls. And
he's like, you almost ripped my arm off. I'm like, Winter Soldier, he ripped his arm. Marvel knew what the hell they were doing.
Yeah. Clever. It was real clever.
It really was. So we see that they're talking about Hydra. They're in Norway. They found the Tesseract. It could power London, or it could blow everything up to Kingdom Come in 60 seconds. I love that my autocorrect, or maybe I think I actually miskeyed this. I put in 69 seconds. I swear on everything. I did not do that on purpose. That's just my notes. And I laughed, so I had to share.
Very specific.
I'm pretty sure that's what they said.
69 seconds? Then yeah. I typed it correctly.
No, I'm just kidding.
No. I was going to make
a Disney Plus show.
Oh, they were like, it's going to be done in 69. And they all pointed at each other and like, hey, I'm just kidding. 60 seconds. All right. And then Stark and Peggy talk about getting the Tesseract. And Colonel Flynn, or Colonel Cock, as we're calling him now. I'm not risking one man, let alone a platoon, over a glorified battery. Anyway, dumbass. Can we just call him dumbass?
I love the voice you do for him.
Because that's the voice I heard. I'm not sure if that's what was said, but this is what I hear when I hear him talk.
It's same, but yeah, I don't think it's accurate, but I like the voice.
I like it too.
Thank you.
They get on with the Tesseract pretty quickly. Like they handle the Tesseract stuff very quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we see Peggy. Sorry.
There's a point where they show a book and there's a title over the Tesseract, and it's in the same Norse runes that Sylvie had on her sword. And Google as you might, it so far has meant nothing. So far. But there's Italian below it that says the hypercube in the true shape of the space stone.
Oh, nice. I did not catch that. Good stuff.
I don't know Italian.
I didn't think you did. Peggy is drinking here, and we hear Stark talking to her. Flynn's a moron. He makes some upgrades, and he talks about, I'm going to make some upgrades to the suit that would have been for the USO shows, basically. And he shows her, and I love Peggy's response. Obviously, you know, being covert is not your strong suit, or something along those lines. Then he hands her the shield with a different flag on it than we're used to. The star. What flag do we see, Emmy?
It's called the Union Jack.
It's called the Union Jack. Do you have any fun facts about the Union Jack? I just figured you would.
Oh, I don't, but I can tell you right now that so the Euro Cups happened over the summer, and I was at home. Somebody came to visit who is my mother's mother, and I turned on the Euro.
What's her name, Emmy?
I don't remember.
Her first name is Grammy.
Her first name is Grammy. Anyway, we were watching golf and I was bored to tears. It was like a celebrity golf tournament. And so I was like, hey, you know, like it's the last like 15 minutes of the Euro Cup, the final, England versus, I don't even remember now. Anyway, so my mom, my Grammy, and I were all watching the last 15 minutes of the Euro Cup, which were, I know nothing about soccer or football as.
So it was a shield with a UK flag on it. It was really, really cool.
No, listen. Yeah. Listen. So, don't know anything about football. My Grammy was like, this is so cool. We had no clue what was happening. We had no clue what was going on. It was very, very exciting. It was all tied up. They had to go to penalty shots, or I think that's what they're called. Anyway, so like we were watching this and my mom was like, what is that flag over there? Talking about the English flag.
What?
And the English flag. Do you guys know what the English flag looks like?
Is it white with a red cross?
Yes.
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 Okay. So that's the English flag.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Union Jack is like the, pretty sure it's the members of the United Kingdom.
Yes.
And they kind of like put their flags all together.
Correct.
And my mom thought that flag was the English flag.
No.
He thought the Union Jack was the English flag.
No. Yeah. That's not, they're not one and the same. No.
So at 61 years old, it taught my mom something.
We educate parents soccer around here. Heck yeah.
It would be a lot harder to paint this on the shield than the star and the red, white, and blue.
Yeah. So kudos to Stark's painting ability. I don't think we gave him enough credit.
I'm sure he had a machine do it, so it's fine.
Oh, touche. You're right. He just got his HP printer and printed it.
I bet Steve did it for part of his recovery.
I agree. I think that's a wonderful thought, Amy. And so we see that she just comes in. Captain Carter
now. They should have put tap dancing shoes on it, as much like a freaking dance.
All right. Anyway, so Captain Carter just goes out and starts kicking some major ass. There's a montage here. She's punching, she's flipping moving vehicles, and she tosses vehicles left and right.
I love her realization here where she's like, does it the first time. And yes, she's like, oh, I can do this.
It was so cool to like hear that. Because I think,
is that what she says? Brilliant.
Yeah. And she's so relatable in this moment. You know, like I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I go and throw tanks around all the time and crush trucks.
I mean, if we had that power, how would we react to it, Clinton? And I love that part because Steve's like, yeah, I'm a badass all of a sudden. Actually, he has a brief moment when he's like running barefoot through the streets of New York with a, you know, and he holds a taxi cab door. But it's not as pronounced as this. And I really like that this almost humanized her a little bit. Like, holy shit, I am powerful.
Would that be the first thing you did if you got that power? Like, go try to get on the interstate and stop trucks?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I put in my diary. How did you read that? Jerk. Told you to stay away from it.
I liked that she was like, are you seeing this to all of the Nazis or the Hydra agents that she's already taken down that are all laying on the ground? And she's like, are you seeing this?
Oh, it was so great.
What if you guys got this power? What would be the first thing you would go do?
So like super strength?
Yeah. Yes. Whatever.
Super everything.
Super almost. Soldier serum.
Yeah, exactly. It's more than just strength. So, I mean, what do you think?
It's muscles.
First thing I'd do, I'd probably climb onto my roof. I don't know why that was the first thing it's the closest thing to me. I can't do it right now. Like, I'm climbing onto my roof. And then after that.
Okay, that's not what I expected.
I'd probably jump from roof to roof.
So you'd then go Hulk. Take off. You'd try to be like Hulk.
Well, no, I wouldn't want to destroy them.
Well, if you're jumping roof to roof, you probably would, wouldn't you?
Okay, well, then I'd get up on my roof. I'd look at the view, and then I'd get down, and I'd take off down. Down the highway, looking for a Mack truck.
I would
into opposing traffic. Correct. Yeah.
I would enter.
No, I'm just kidding.
I would enter the first marathon that I could find and just sprint past everyone and be like, ha ha. It would just be like, ha, and then I would slow down and then I would speed up again. Right when someone was getting close, I would go just a little bit further just until I'm like out of reach for them and just be like,
That's called cheating.
No, there's no steroids. It's a serum.
It's a performance enhancing drug.
No, it's not, Emmy. There's nothing in the rule book that says you cannot use a super soldier serum. Okay.
That's why they don't say you can't use steroids. It's a performance enhancing drug.
You don't know it's performance enhancing. It's bringing out my true self, and I'm just, yeah. So, okay.
Oh, that's, so you'd be that's a like, real big asshole.
That's like saying Lance Armstrong's a cheater. Okay? It just doesn't make sense. Like Barry Bonds cheated. No. Wait. Did they?
Never. Wait a minute.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Wait a
okay,
minute.
Okay, I amend my first. The first thing I'd do,
I'd jump on a roof. Mine was better.
I don't
better.
Get to say mine, apparently.
Mine was better.
I'd climb a tree. I'd climb a tree.
That's so, just the same thing.
I don't know why, but I really want to be high up.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't say you get wings.
I said, what would you do with
the super soldier serum?
Well, you said the first thing I'd do. Okay, I get the super soldier serum right now. That would be the first thing I do. It's 9 o'clock at night. Like, what am I gonna go? Where? What would you do, Clinton? Please enlighten me.
Well, I'm not. You got real specific. I'm not saying like tonight. Like, it's obviously you couldn't get it tonight because the super soldier serum enhancing place is closed. It's 9 o'clock. They close at 5. So you'd have to
I'll
wait
never
the
make
next
it after
day.
School.
You have to go on your lunch break. I would find my old bully and go beat the shit out of him.
No, excuse me. That's much more noble.
I love that. Emmy would climb a tree. Brandon would illegally participate in races. And Clinton would just beat the shit out of his old bully. We are a stand-up podcast. I'll be like,
who's gay now, son of a bitch? As I'm punching them in the face, even though they were right. They were right.
Yeah.
Okay. But they were mean about it.
But they were mean about it.
Gosh, I wheezed. That, I got tears, Clinton. That was really funny. Who's gay now? I mean, you're right, but now I'm going to beat the shit out of you for it. Oh, gosh. Anyway, guys, I also love another line just in the same scene. Where have you been all my life? When she's talking to the shield. I thought that was a really cool line, too. That was really awesome.
She should have said it's just Steve.
Oh, she
now they're basically too busy talking about dancing.
All right, clearly.
You know what? Steve could probably fit on that shield.
She could tuck him behind the shield into her arm strap.
Like,
he could just hold on with his arms and legs around her forearm.
You ready, Steve? Okay, and so
like a little koala, like a little battle koala. Yeah. Koala.
He's just dangling there the whole episode. So we see
he's like a keychain or an earring.
Some dude comes out too, some German dude. He's like, and she punches the dude in the kneecap and the gut in the head. You know what I thought of with his facial expressions? I thought of Punch Out. Like, I thought a punch out on the NES because he's like, like when he like,
almost.
Yeah,
spit,
it like, looks like
blink.
Yeah, it looks like Glass Joe, man. Like, I immediately went back to punch out when I saw this. I thought it was a really funny little scene there. And also punching a person in the kneecap. Holy shit, that would hurt. God, that just made that almost made me grit my teeth watching it.
It's, and I don't know, but it's got to be better than in the crotchal region, right?
I thought she dick punched him, and I had to rewind it. I was like, did she just dick punch this dude? Did she just? But no, it was
just dunch this guy.
And no, it was a kneecap blow. But yeah, I would rather get hit in the kneecap than in the perneum,
the coronal ridge. You're done.
The coronal ridge. I would much rather get hit in the kneecap.
It's a nacho, because it's nacho ass and it's nacho balls.
God,
he does say some German here. He deserved this. He what? Says, well, no, okay. So he says Fräulein, which means
fragile. He also says
a fragile Fräulein. Yeah, some alliteration. You're welcome. Fräulein is not just a woman, but an unmarried German-speaking woman, and it's usually young. So he's being very condescending when he says that.
Ooh.
And then later, what's-his-face says, Scheiße, which means...
shit.
Very good. Very good. Next time, raise your hand before answering, please.
Oh, sorry. My apologies. I heard the classroom quiet, and I was like, Scheiße means shit. Like, I was really stoked to say it.
Very good. Very good.
Thanks.
Okay, now report to the principal's office for cussing at me.
Ah, shit. All right, bye. So I love that, you know, we do see she captures, gosh, why am I not thinking of his name? Weird guy, creepy little small dude in
Zola.
Yes, good stuff.
Got it.
And we go back and we see Colonel Cox saying, "You're a field agent. You can't be on the front lines." Then promote me. Captain has a nice ring to it. Oh God, Peggy. Badass.
She was basically like, "Suck it."
Yeah, mm-hmm. And yep. Rightfully so. She just did
She's
all
like,
this.
Say something, because I'll beat the shit out of you, bully.
I almost wanted to see it. Like, I was almost pissed we never saw her just sucker punch the shit out of this guy.
Yeah, just backhand him or something.
Right.
You know what? This guy is kind of a back five in Gazette.
Ah, I agree with that, Emmy. I 100% agree. So
a callback.
Yes, a very good callback. Can you explain that to someone who may not know what that means, Emmy?
Back five in Gazette is a word for, I call them punch face in English. It is someone whose face is in need of a fist.
I love that.
In what language?
German. I said that already.
I don't know that you did.
We'll let the listener decide. So we see that.
Because I was looking for it.
Yeah. Howard builds something. We see that Howard is building something, and he's like, ready to join the war effort, Steve? This is really cool. Like, this is Howard thinking like Tony, and it looks like, I don't know. This is awesome, by the way.
So, go ahead. Get to the reveal of it.
Because... Well, we go through a little bit that you owe me a dance, and they hold hands. This is nice. Mind if I have a go? And they... Oh, sorry. No. First, you owe me a dance. They hold hands. And then we see Peggy running side by side with a motorcycle. And I love this part. She's like, mind if I have a go? And just basically bitch slaps the dude off the motorcycle. I'm all here for Captain Carter. I just love that so much.
He's got such a different attitude than with this ceremony.
And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Emmy, what were you thinking there? That?
I have a theory that the serum makes you have a proclivity for motorcycles. The serum, one of the side effects is that you may love riding a motorcycle more than you did prior.
I mean, that's fair. Bucky even rides one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
That's a side effect of the Super Soldier Serum.
You know Harley. Harley sponsored the Super Soldier Serum, so they put a little bit of their logo in every serum. That's the only thing.
Did Flag Smash?
They're like, damn it! I don't know why I want a motorcycle all of a sudden.
I feel strong, and I want to be on two wheels. That's what I want.
Does that mean Ghost Rider had it?
Oh shit!
That was my first thought. I was like, as soon as I was writing that down, I was like. Oh, man.
Damn it. Ghost Rider is a super soldier.
Maybe that's what the angel demon or whatever is possessing him. Maybe that's what.
He was a super douche, not a super soldier. Let's be real. All right. Sorry. In the movies, Nicolas Cage.
He took his That's okay. So it's just any super blank serum. So super soldier serum, super douche serum.
Yeah. You chose the SDS instead of the SSS. So yeah, exactly. You choose the wrong vial, you become a super douche. That's pretty much it. Yeah. And I'm only talking about the Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider, not Ghost Rider from the comics or from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the record.
But they all love that motorcycle.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's the Harley Davidson logo is in every single one of those serums, for sure. And so I love that she rides the motorcycle for a second, but then she throws the damn motorcycle into a lookout's nest. Like, just completely throws it right into him.
Yeah, it's a callback to Ultron, I feel like.
Oh, but it was so damn awesome watching this. Like, I would have loved to see this, like, not in animated form, because, like, this was just...
You did, in Ultron.
Maybe not.
Steve throws his motorcycle.
He flips. In Ultron. This is different. Yes, he does. I'm not saying you're wrong, but like, this was such a different, like, the way she threw it, and then like it all explode because that's what happens in cartoons.
So are we saying that Peggy could beat Steve's ass?
I would not argue that. I would say it's a damn good fight. I don't know who.
She definitely has more grit than Steve does.
Yeah, this was cool. I don't know who would win, and that would be awesome to watch, but like, yeah, Peggy's a badass, man. Like, when she throws that motorcycle, mm-hmm. I'm like, I want to see this.
I want to see live action. I hope they follow through, like you said.
Yeah, it's Hayley Atwell. I'm just saying, she's wonderful. So let's do it. Come on, make it happen, Marvel.
I'd be down.
Yep, for sure. And especially if she's rumored to show up in Doctor Strange.
So is everybody, though.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's very true.
Yes. So I heard
Robert Pattinson's supposed to be in Multiverse of Madness.
Oh,
just kidding. I mean, I'm kidding. That's how rumors
the DC
start.
In there.
Yeah, exactly. Suicide Squad's supposed to be in the Multiverse of Madness. I thought that was really cool how they're going to have the first DC and Marvel tie-in. That's going to be wonderful. Yeah.
And Idris Elba is playing both Bloodshot and
Bloodsport.
Dang it. I get him.
Bloodshot is what your eyes are every morning.
No. Okay. Well, that's true. Rude. And that's.
Clint's making a lot of assumptions, but he's like spot on all of them, and it pisses me off. I'm like, you son of a bitch. You're wrong, but no, you're not.
Deadshot from the first one. I get Deadshot.
Bloodsport.
Because the names are so similar.
Yeah, I would agree.
I have a hard time remembering Bloodsport, but then I think of the Van Damme movie and it helps me remember.
Nice.
I don't have that reference point, so it doesn't help me. Oh. Thank you.
Well, so we see
good movie.
We see one of the Howling Commandos say, when did Dames learn to fight like that? And I love that. I'm here for Sergeant Barnes. Call me Captain Carter. And it's really cool. Like, she breaks out the Howling Commandos and Bucky. Bucky's not held captive at this point. He's not being experimented on. This is just all of them together. Obviously a different
And
timeline.
Then she's looking for them. And doesn't she say she can't find him? And she says, Nuck if you're Buck. But...
And that's exactly what happened, Clinton.
She knows it's him.
The crowd parts, like the other Howling Commandos part, and that's when you see Bucky giving her nuts.
So I think I remembered that correctly. Thank you, Emmy.
Yeah. Emmy, I'm so glad. If you didn't see that on Disney Plus, they might have already edited it out. But
yeah. we get the cuts early.
It was a blooper.
Allegedly, we get the cuts early. Allegedly. So we see send in air support. Rogers inbound. Steve? What in the heavens? Steve. And we see.
What in tarnation?
What in tarnation?
What are you doing in that all iron thing?
We're seeing the Mark One. Ironmonger and Steve Rogers.
We're seeing the Hydra Stomper
all together, which makes the Hydra Stomper, which is so cool. It is so cool to see the Hydra Stomper. Steve's in it, and he's like, "Hey, Peggy, now you owe me one." And
are we gonna dance? Dance, 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 dance.
Clinton,
I had to get it out of my system.
I need you to bring it down a notch on the dance. Okay.
I don't think it's
we're fighting for our lives, but I'll give you that dance later. Dance,
Clinton. Bring it down.
Just dance. It'll be okay.
I think of the Fall Out Boy song.
Oh, that's a good song, too.
Dance. Or Fondling a Bug Till Halftime.
I'm so sorry that I thought of Lady Gaga. I thought that you were the homosexual on this podcast.
I'm secretly a rocker.
Rocker.
I think that you have to give over your card for that. I think I get
it
now. Is
that how that works?
Am I a lesbian now?
Well, I'm so annoyed because the next line in this show is I got some new dancing shoes. And she's like, well, then we better start dancing. So, yeah, we might as well get that out of the way since we're already on dancing. And I love Bucky's response. He can't even drive a car. And I love he's like, so a dame and a flying Buick. Like, I thought that was really a funny take as well.
Let me voice real quick why it annoys me a little bit. Mm. Love the episode. I know I'm teasing about it. It would have been fine if it would have been one or two references, but it feels like it's just
shoved down in your throat constantly.
It's not even shoved down your throat. It's just exhausting. It's like, we get it. We get the dancing reference. Like it would have been more sincere, in my opinion, if it would have been one or two callbacks instead of keep doing it, because that was the thing in Endgame. You're like, oh, they got their dance. Like, it worked because it wasn't thrown around constantly. But this, I feel like they just keep bringing it up.
Amy, what are you thinking?
Okay, I'm gonna play Mephisto's advocate here. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you think about the 23 movies that were in the MCU prior to the Disney Plus shows, how many times did they bring up dancing with Steve and Peggy? The whole 23 movies. I feel like it's a lot.
Because in
Age of Ultron, that's what Scarlet Witch shows. When he comes out,
yeah,
of
but
the
that
ice,
has nothing to do with
say,
Peggy and Steve. That's
doesn't
just
he
her.
Say? Doesn't he say something about like I had a date or something? Whenever he comes out of the ice, like
yeah,
I missed
but
a
that's
date.
In their movies, and it's spaced out over 11 years.
Okay, and this was kind of covering most of that time in 30 minutes, and so I would say that I didn't hate it because it was like it's not like they said it.
They said it a lot.
They did say it a lot.
Every time they see each other again, it's like they got to bring up dancing.
Did they not do that in Captain America, the first Avenger?
It didn't feel
the same. There was that whole theme of like, we're going to have our dance, and then he dies, and they didn't get to have their dance, and they bring it up later when they meet again, and she's old. What, Brandon?
I'm going to be honest with you guys, and I can't believe I'm saying this. Yeah, Clinton, I completely agree with you. I felt like it was, you know, now don't get me wrong. I tried
to be in your corner.
No, Amy, I love
never
you.
Never again, Brandon. Amy, never again.
Amy, thank you. I really, really appreciate it. I'm not kidding. But I really felt like the way they did it in the first Avenger was not so on the nose, and through 11 years was not so constant repeating.
It felt genuine.
It did. And this one was like, hey, you know what we did in the first Avenger? Hey, you know what happens in Endgame? And they just
that's my only gripe with this episode.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing
about it, but that's, I'll stop now. I just wanted to get that out there.
It's like, not a bad like thing, brought up a but lot. I can't disagree with you, Clinton. I can't like Clinton. No, I'm like, yeah, they were kind of on the nose with this repeatedly. So I can't.
Repeatedly. If they would have done it once or twice,
I can't argue.
It's a different universe. So all of those.
That's a good point.
The first Avenger.
That's a good
happen.
Point. That's
yeah,
a good
so they had to it, make them happen
a,
again.
That's
yeah,
a good point.
It's a wink to the fans. That's what it's for.
And
it's fan
okay.
service.
Okay. But still, like, they weren't on the mission together whenever Bucky fell off the train in the first Avenger. Like, him and Peggy didn't have as many scenes together. So they might have been as cringe in the first Avenger had they had that many times to be cringe.
You make a great point, Emmy.
I mean, that's Boom. Fair.
You make
but...
a great point. I know what you're saying, Clinton. You make it. I think you're both. You're both right. I honestly think where you're both coming from, you're both spot on.
I think I just appreciate subtlety more. And I like the reference when Bucky gets pulled up on the train. He's like, you almost pulled my arm off. I'm like, ah.
Yeah,
I see what
that
you did
stuff
there. And
instead
leave
of
it there. Leave it there.
It's you not like he went for 20 minutes on the show and be like, my arm, it's feeling loose. Ah, I feel like Buzz Lightyear.
Like there's always something reminding you. Right, I appreciate the subtlety more because I'm like, okay, that works and it's cute and it's a wink. But when it's so consistent, you're like,
it's in your face.
I get it.
Right.
I do get where you're coming from. I do. And so I'm not really sure why I'm defending it, but
no, you guys are
where my heart is calling.
But you're both presenting. You both are right. I really believe
it didn't take it away. I mean, it didn't take me out.
You're right.
Ruin the episode for me. It was just something I noticed that it's consistently said.
I think you both bring up excellent points. Really, I do.
Can I make a complete confession?
Oh, Amy, okay. Amy's confession hour on the Avengers podcast.
Okay. So we all know that my I hate that show. I really hate. I cannot stand it. If I listen to it, I will cry, and I don't, that's not what I want in the evenings. I just, oh, okay.
Amy, confessions.
Confessions. Okay, so today, Brandon made a post on our Twitter. I happened to click on it at some point whenever, during my lunch, and I was like, dude, spoilers, because the GIF that he put was with Captain Carter riding on top of an Iron Man suit. It was apparently in the trailer. We all know my memory is not great. Also, I don't pay that much attention to the trailers, and so that's a bit of a spoiler. In my head, I was like, huh, I wonder how that comes to happen. The fact that Steve, yes, the fact that Steve was in that Iron Man suit, I did not see it coming until they said, we need flight
Rogers,
what is it?
Like air support.
Air support. Yes. And then they're like, Rogers. And then you see the suit, and I'm like, oh, shit.
I thought that was awesome. You know
what? And that's where it came together for me.
Exactly.
It's what I was going to say a minute ago with the suit. It reminds me, this is another subtlety I like, and maybe it wasn't intentional, maybe it's just my mind, but you remember Tony in the movies, his resentment towards Steve because of how much Howard loved Steve.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this played out here, and he is the first Iron Man, not Tony. Mm-hmm. Because of his admiration for Steve, he was doing anything he could for Steve. He still wanted Steve in their fight, and he still wanted to build Steve something great. He was supposed to be the super soldier in this. Didn't work out, but he's still going to like coddle Steve and cater to Steve because he wants to test his tech with Steve. And it reminds me of how Tony was a little resentful towards Steve because his dad admired him so much and it took away from his childhood.
But didn't Howard admire Steve because Steve was Captain America? Or was it that Howard admired Steve because he was chosen to be?
It was
Captain
his project,
America?
Basically.
Okay.
The Super Soldier Serum was his project. So it was like this admiration for this guy because he was obsessed with his work, and his work like panned out with Steve because
wasn't it Erskine's work? Successful. But he was it was Erskine and Stark. I feel like they both had a huge part to play in it. So that's a fair statement. I would agree with that.
It just made me think of the resentment Tony had against Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see here that he loves Steve in this episode.
That's like, a very good point, Clint.
Howard likes Steve a lot in this episode.
Yeah. It wasn't that he loved Captain America. He liked Steve Rogers before he became Captain America. That's a good point.
Right. That's a really good point, Clinton. So we move on and we see that Steve comes out of the Hydra Stomper, and let's hear it for Captain Carter, similar to Bucky saying, let's hear it for Captain America in the first Avenger. And in Captain America, Steve Rogers took in the applause, and I love Peggy here. Peggy goes, save the cheers for the victory parade. Damn. She went up Steve here, man. I will say that 100%. And it was badass. And we see more montages of Peggy doing work, montages. And Flynn is taking all the credit. During this montage, we're seeing like, oh, yeah, no, I'm 100% behind Peggy Carter. I said she should have done it sooner. And then we're seeing also like, yeah, no, I told Stark we need a suit for Steve. Like, he's just being a super douche, and he's taking all the credit for her and Hydra Stomper doing major work. And it's annoying, but people haven't. We see her just kicking ass, kicking people out of planes, you know, invading Hydra bases. This is a really cool little montage with Colonel Cock in the middle of it, just being a douche.
I feel like a callback to the montage in the first Avenger 2 where you see Steve going through and
right.
Kicking ass.
This was awesome.
Squarely.
Yeah.
I like Peggy with the serum better than Steve. I'm just going to say it.
Okay. So that was going to be a question.
It's not nothing. That's a double negative. I mean, I can't do that. It's not anything against Steve.
Did you hear that correction? That was you learning.
Well, no, it's not me learning. I hate double negatives, and I rarely do that.
He's done that since the beginning. Yeah, Clinton's.
I have not. I may be country, but I'm not that.
No. Like, you've hated double negatives. I've heard you correct.
Oh, yeah. I've always hated double negatives.
Yeah, no.
I just notice it.
That's not you learning. You've always done that. So.
I don't know. I like her attitude a lot. I think she's more like, as we say around, just grab them by the balls. You know what I mean?
So that was going to be a question that I asked at the end. Do you think, had it not been the 1940s and this rampant misogyny, do you think that Peggy Carter would have been a better choice than Steve Rogers?
Yes.
To be.
Yes.
Captain America.
I think they're both great choices. And we've seen
she's
that. Through-
Captain. She's not Captain America.
Well, Captain of whatever.
Captain Carter. But what I love, honestly,
I was joking.
Well, I don't.
What is with that, though? Steve was Captain America. Why ain't she Captain America? Why they got to go by her name instead of
or Captain Britain? You know, because we've seen that.
Yeah, but we have a Captain Britain.
Why can't she be Captain Britain?
Because she's a woman, Brandon. We all know this.
That's why I was waiting for you. I was waiting to get you. Got him. No, but what I would say is I think what we have seen through these two multiverses that are both canon in the Marvel Studios, I would say they're both damn good candidates for different reasons. That one's about what he does really well. She does really well in different ways as well. It's to me, you can't go wrong with either one. And I know I'm going down the middle and it's kind of a cheesy, hokey answer, but I'm also a Captain America fanboy. If you chose Peggy over Steve, I wouldn't be like, no, you should choose Steve. And the other way around, I wouldn't do it either. Like, I think they're both wonderful, amazing choices. I just need to see Hayley Atwell as Captain Carter in the MCU, not as a cartoon in full form, because I think she holds her the same amount of, I don't know.
They do have, they both yes. bring their own. Yeah, they both bring their own thing, but they do it differently.
Right.
That's a good point. Like,
exactly. And I want to see her realized in the, and I'm not saying the fair. Real MCU, but the cinematic, I guess, the visual.
Live action.
Live action is a great way to say it. I don't think you could go wrong with either one. Emmy, what are you thinking here?
I did have a thought during this animated show. Like, damn, she's killing a lot of people.
Holy
she's throwing people out of planes.
Shit.
Like she
got a lot of red in her ledger.
Yeah, she broke the propeller off somebody's plane and then also threw him out of it just to make sure that he
didn't. And then jumped to another plane.
Yeah. So like
fun about the animated though. You can do this. It's so fun.
And so I do think that she's going about it a little bit differently than Steve Rogers. But
I love it.
But at the same time, these are like Nazis squared. They're like super Nazis.
Yeah. And they're Steve, like didn't have Steve didn't have compassion against them either. It'd be interesting to see her in a situation where she's in a situation where there's a choice to be made and it's not easy, where it's not, you know, maybe on an Avengers team where she has to make calls that the other team members don't agree with or something like her to have conflict with people that she cares about. I would love to see how she handles it because we're just getting the badass side of her. We're just getting
And it's also easier to watch her kill a whole bunch of people when it's animated, when it's not actual bodies hitting the ground. Like, you know, it's not live action.
It's not drowning pool style.
Why am I even on this podcast? You guys are both spot on.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
You both are perfectly spot on. I agree with both Clinton with what he said. I would love to see her more entangled in internal conflict than just let me kill some Nazis. And I completely agree because I think we'd see her.
My name's Peg and I'm here to fuck shit up.
What is the Inglourious Bastards line?
Oh, I've seen that.
Brad Pitt says, and he's like, I want Nazi scalps. Nazi scalps.
Yeah, I'm here to chew bubblegum and kill Nazis. We're all out of bubblegum or something like that.
Is that what he said? I thought that was from Duke Nukem, the video game.
Emmy, go with it. Just go with it.
No, I'm going. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's not Duke Nukem. We'll hold on. We'll edit that part out. All right, ready?
I thought that was from Sonic the Hedgehog.
It was Sonic the Hedgehog. We're going to edit that, and we're going to hit record in 3, 2, 1. So he says, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
I still think it's from Duke Nukem.
Emmy, we're trying to edit this.
And I think somebody's going to be absolutely shocked that I know that.
Oh, I am shocked, actually, because I'm a Duke Nukem player. That's hilarious. Oh,
I have no idea.
You've never played Duke Nukem?
Never played it.
Oh, I've that shit it. Was... 8-year-old me was like, oh, they said that on a video game?
I was like, this is the best graphics are ever going to be.
Yeah, and they're just, you go, it's like GoldenEye when you go back and it's just squares with faces printed on them. Yes, but it
was everything for me when I was a kid.
How can it get better than this?
It can't, Clinton. It can't. This is the best it'll ever get. We would have just fed each other that crap. But we see that we see Captain Carter and Hydra Stomper continuing to wreak havoc. The Fuhrer demands your presence. Demands? We go back to Red Skull. A god does not answer to a man. And you lost the Tesseract. The true champion will be summoned beyond the stars. So Red Skull is talking about a true champion. We do not know who that true champion is just yet, but we know he is otherworldly.
Did you have any thoughts? Holy hell, like, what if it's this person? Or like, oh, WTF, like, maybe it's this. Did you have any thoughts of like,
I did.
What if? Did you have any what ifs?
I did. I was like, what if Thanos comes in the 40s? What if?
That was one of mine. Okay.
I was like, you know, and I really, that's kind of where I think once my brain went there and that was the first one, I didn't think it would be Thanos, but I was like, what if it's Thanos? And then once I got there, I was stuck. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't move on beyond that.
I was stuck there, but then I also went, what if it's Odin?
Ooh, that's and then a good I was like, point.
Oh, snap. What if it's Loki? I went mostly for Asgardians because it's the Tesseract.
That's not wrong. That's not wrong. Yeah. I just thought Stones, Thanos, he's trying earlier. I don't know because it's an alternate. I don't know. But I'm sure he was younger, but I don't know how. Anyway, God, we'll talk for hours. I thought Thanos. I'm not saying it's right, but I just thought it was.
I have another just point just to make real quick. So sorry.
No.
I loved the fact that there was a handle on the back of Hydra Stomper so that Captain Carter could ride him.
Oh.
Ow.
I think Peg is pegging confirmed.
Oh. All right. So we see that we continue moving on and we talk about the Third Reich will fall and Hydra will rise from its ashes. Hail Hydra. And it's kind of the similar thing we heard in the first Avenger. And we see Agent Carter. I miss a good whiskey, but the serum doesn't allow her to feel the effects. And I thought that was cool. It was a very first Avenger callback of Steve when he couldn't get drunk when he lost Bucky. Mm-hmm. And he said, how did it feel? And she goes, not as different as you think. This is Steve and Peggy talking to each other. Not as different as you think. The way people view me has changed. No longer screaming to be heard, to be seen, to be in the room. I felt that resonated with a lot of people. And I know we paused a lot here. Emmy, I want to pause here. You know, this line, and I don't mean to feed it to you because, hey, how do you feel? I'm sure you relate to this. I don't want to seem like that. But when I heard this, I immediately thought of you because it's a very poignant conversation we're still having to this day.
I think what hit for me in this scene was the fact that Steve followed it up with to be respected.
Correct. He did.
And that to me showed not just the misogyny of the time, but also like if you're not a big, strong dude who can go and fight on the front lines, he was feeling the same way that she did. And so that's why in his character, you don't see that same disrespect for what women can accomplish that, for example, Colonel Cock had until she showed that she could kick ass and take names and chew bubblegum probably at the same time. But that was what really hit for me was that it's like, it's not even just like a woman and man thing. It's that you don't fit the societal standards of worthy of respect and worthy of being heard and worthy of being in the room. And that was what hit home for me. It's not even a gender thing.
Well said.
It's a society thing.
Well said.
And I do think we've come a far way from that.
Far away, but still got a long way to go. And
there is still a long way to go.
Very well said, Emmy. And
that was good.
And we saw Steve said to be respected. I'm still that skinny kid from Brooklyn, but now I'm in a big metal suit, and the suit is nothing without the man in the suit. And this is very callback to Iron Man and how, you know, take that suit away from you. What are you, you know? And I thought this was such a cool callback to Iron Man, and it's nothing without Tony Stark in the suit as well. This was layer upon layer upon layer here. Amy, sorry.
I took that too as Peter Parker in Iron Man.
Ooh.
In Homecoming. Homecoming.
Good stuff. I didn't think of that.
If you're nothing without the suit, then you shouldn't have the suit. So I took that there as well. I kind of really wanted them to kiss. I feel like they leaned really heavily on the romance in this episode, and I really was kind of hoping, I like knew because they were moving so slowly towards each other that something was going to happen, but I was really wishing that they would kiss. And the fact that Howard Stark scared them and was like, let's go, Bucky stole a Jeep. I'm pretty sure that's a war crime.
It's like you're... It reminded me of like the drunk parties at a friend's, and you're like having a moment with somebody, and somebody's like, Jolene Shitface in the living room, come check it out. They just interrupt it with a
totally... Somebody took a shit on the deck.
I don't know why I said Jolene, but Jolene. I don't know one Jolene. I just know the song by Dolly. That's
I know.
You know a Jolene?
I'm pretty sure that, no, I don't. I'm pretty sure that that's what the song is about, though. Some drunk girl in the living room,
mm-hmm.
just rolling around on the floor. Jolene, who?
He just kind of interrupts. It was kind of out of nowhere, too. I didn't expect it at all. Well, I knew something was about to happen, but I didn't expect that.
I didn't expect it to be Bucky stole a Jeep. Let's go for a joyride. Bucky stole a damn Jeep.
Your drunk friends at Walmart that are like...
Riding around in the buggies with umbrellas and let's play Mario Kart in Walmart at 2 a.m.
Or John's got his dad's car keys. Let's go to the lake or some shit like that. Just completely, it was very childlike to me. Very teenager feeling.
Yeah.
For Howard.
But I mean, yeah.
But it's like, it's also like Howard's on cloud nine too, because everything that he's wanted to happen has happened for him in this episode.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So he's giddy.
I guess that's true.
But then it's like, there's a very harsh cut there. You see none of the shenanigans in the Jeep. And then it's like, oh, now we're on this mission in the Alps.
That's a good point. This felt like a rough edit. It was like, wait, what? What just happened?
It is funny, though. I only got to watch it once today. And I want to watch it again. It's being watched right now in the living room.
Yeah, but the way they almost kiss, and then Bucky stole a Jeep, and then he's a cock block, obviously, and then we're on a train. Like, wait, what? It is a very sudden thing. So I would have I've watched this twice today, guys. You didn't miss anything. It's really that. Just okay. Just get on and go.
I had a thought this morning, and it probably was I just woke up. It's not a rational thought. Mm-hmm. But for a second, I was like, maybe my homeroom, instead of watching Hercules, we need to watch What If? And then I was like, I can't do that.
That would have been amazing. But there's Scheiße in it, so you would have had, German for shit, and you would probably had a bunch of kids going Scheiße everywhere.
And also guns everywhere.
Oh, that's just true.
Some people dying.
Look at me being such a horrible influence. I'm like, hey, they say Scheiße. Like, that's the only thing I have.
So they also kill people.
Yeah, but I'm like, but no, really, but Scheiße's in it. That's the problem. Yeah. So we see the train, the Red Skull's on the train, or at least what they think. They talk about Bucky being afraid of trains. Here we go. And where Eagles Dare operation is in full effect, Bucky almost falls off, as we talked about earlier. She pulls him up. You almost ripped my arm off. Ha ha. Anyway.
Teehee. I got that reference.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Thought that was absolutely amazing.
You said something. Oh, right before that. Oh, Bucky's fear of trains.
Yes.
Was that mentioned in the first movie?
I can't remember. That stood out to me too.
I don't think they did.
I don't think it was.
I don't think they did.
I don't think it was either.
Because they were up on that mountainside and they rappelled down to the train. Correct?
I don't think they did. I thought it was a callback to the first one because, like, remember, he fell off the train. So now he has a fear of trains in this universe.
And you got to remember, like, variations of the same person in a different universe.
Exactly.
So why would they have?
I know, but that's what I thought of because I can't.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that's why they would have that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. In the first Avenger, I don't remember at all, guys. I don't think they did. And that's three of us. So if you feel differently, let us know. But I don't know.
Okay, guys. Okay.
Okay.
I have a point here. Okay.
Uh-oh. Lay it on me. Lay it on me, sugar.
If there is a multiverse in the real world, right?
Yes.
Oh, I know where you're going.
I'm absolutely terrified of haunted houses and ghosts and stuff. I'm also absolutely terrified of sharks. Is there a multiverse where I was killed by ghosts and haunted houses and shit like that? Is there a multiverse where I was killed by a shark? And that's why I have this absolute
my gosh,
fear.
Have you ever heard that theory of like the fears is another one in that theory, but like the reason you have the birthmarks you have is that's how you died in the past life was an injury to that place.
I don't have any birthmarks.
Oh, so this is your first incarnation. So that means that explains why you don't have a lot of wisdom.
I'm a bebé.
I just subtly dished you and you didn't come back at me. I was one of five.
No,
I'm sorry. What I heard was that you called me young.
And she's like, forever young. I want to be forever bebé.
Amy still got that puppy breath.
Do you want to live forever?
I have
three
birthmarks.
You have three? What the hell are you, man?
Mine are just like it's the same as my skin. It's just light brown.
I've got one.
I am not telling where mine are.
On his ass.
I was going to say on your butthole.
I do have one on the top of my butt cheek.
Nice. All right. So now you know Clinton has a birthmark on his butt cheek. If you don't take anything else from this podcast, please take
the top of it's almost to my waist. Yeah, yeah, it's like top of it's top right cheek.
I'm sorry. That's not a birthmark. That's a tramp stamp.
Yeah. It looks like a trucker woman with a cowboy hat on. I don't understand. It's weird.
Okay, so they call this Operation Where Eagles Dare.
Yes.
And I was like, what a stupid ass name.
I thought the same thing.
Where Eagles Dare.
Of course, I had to Google it. It is a 1968 World War II movie. So 1968 is way after when this would have actually happened.
That's what they
named that movie after.
Yeah, that's what they named
it. Yeah, it also happened in the Alps. However, this was paratroopers trying to raid a castle.
Red Skull. Yeah, I know. We watched it. So we see that Steve, Steve makes it in. He stops the train. There's an explosion. Like Steve
sees
all the
bombs. It was a setup.
Exactly.
And all us viewers thought it was going to be the same ship, but we should have knew better. We should have known it was going to be different.
Should have knew better. And Steve is lost. And Steve. And we hear that same similar Steve, the crying and everything. And Bucky just lost his best friend. He's like, Peggy, we got to go. I'm like, man, Bucky, he ain't even reacting. Like Steve had to drink at a bar. And Bucky's like, hey, we need to get out of the Alps. Let's go. I mean,
they were about to get
frozen
avalanche
frozen
we death? Didn't yeah he was trying to save Peggy, but we also, and I might have stepped away, but did we talk about where she said that when she was drinking that she doesn't
we
talked about that.
Yeah, we did
the callback to how Steve said the same thing.
Yeah,
I must have walked away, sorry.
You did, and that's why I said we talked about it.
Okay,
also can we just say that Steve got Bucky'd?
Too soon. Too soon. No.
Amy. Oh, excuse me. Steve got booked.
Off that. Yeah, but he didn't lose any limbs and survive.
Yeah, he got bucked up.
He got bucked up, man. And I love that they talk about this is Colonel Cock and this is Howard Stark. And they're like, you said the Hydra Stomper was indestructible. It was. And I love
it. It is. And then he goes, was.
Yeah, exactly. And she intervenes and says, his name was Steve. Steve Rogers.
I like that.
I did too.
That was a nice touch here because they're talking about him like he's property. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, he was a person.
I think he was a project to both of them in a way.
Right. Yeah.
And I know he connected with Steve, but still, Howard, that still saw that.
Well, it's a pride thing with the Starks.
That's a good point.
He was just excited that his stuff's working and Steve was his person in his suit.
Spot on. So, man. Spot on. And completely agreed with you. And we see that he's like, you'll never get anything out of me, Freilein. It's Zola. And
I don't remember that part.
And then he goes, she told me everything. Or Peggy Carter says, she told me everything. Like, she goes to...
He
told me everything.
Sorry, he. So, like, basically, well, Zola.
A cutaway and
yeah,
he
exactly.
told me everything.
And it was really funny.
He said, I'll never tell you anything, cutaway.
Yeah.
He told me everything.
Exactly.
Which was also... in the first movie, wasn't it?
No.
No.
It was, or it was similar, wasn't it?
It wasn't similar. No, because no, no. it was Tommy Lee Jones' character, and he's like,
he's in this too, by the way, at the very beginning.
Is he? I didn't know that.
He's that character. He don't speak.
You can see him, and he gets killed in
the explosion.
In the room where it happened.
Okay, we're done. And so he told me everything. Red Skull will unleash an interdimensional force. Colonel, you're lucky to be in the room. That's what we talked about earlier. Badass
moment. Hell yeah, girl.
Badass moment.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Red Skull is also voiced by the guy that replaced him in Endgame.
I did know that. That's also really, really awesome.
I don't know his name.
I don't either.
Toby
Mac.
Toby something.
Yeah, Toby.
Toby Mac. Oh, yeah. That takes me back.
No, it does. Toby Maguire, exactly. Spider-Man confirmed and in Multiverse of Madness. So we return the favor. They're going to burn that castle to the ground, Peggy says. We might not survive, but we'll stop Hydra. And I'm in. We hear the Howling Commandos. I'm in for Steve, for Rogers. And come on, Howard. We might need someone to press a button. And I love how Peggy is the one that kind of recruits the Howling Commandos. And we cut to Peggy just kicking ass, Bucky and the Howling Commandos shooting, doing work. They go high, they go low, they shake hands in the middle is what Peggy said. And we just see the Tesseract with Red Skull and the portal opens up. Clinton, we didn't get to hear your answer earlier. When the portal opened up, who did you expect to see?
I wasn't sure who I thought was on the other side of the portal, because it kept building up to like this interdimensional being, or he's coming, or whatever.
Did you think it was going to be
Red Skull was saying?
Did you think it was going to be Starro the Conqueror?
No, I thought it would be. I didn't know who it was going to be, but I thought it would be someone that we knew.
Same.
Like that's why I thought they were building it up and hinting, because I thought, oh, this is going to be some intergalactic threat from another movie, like a Guardians of the Galaxy type
threat. And it's just an octopus.
Well, some people have tied it back to saying it's the same being that the Guardians fought at the beginning of Guardians 2.
Ooh,
I saw that too, similar.
Okay.
Yeah. We never get to see it fleshed out, though. We see its mouth and its tentacles a little bit.
Oh, we see the tentacles more than anything, I believe. Right.
Yeah, but it wasn't all the way through.
I agree. And the portal opens. The champion of Hydra has risen, and we see tentacles. You are too late, Captain Carter. I have summoned the champion of... Red Skull gets captured and crushed right there.
Why didn't I think of this, though? Sorry.
Yeah.
The Red Skull, or the Hydra symbol, is like
I was just going to say.
Octopus, or like a...
Yes, it is. So, it's an octopus. Because
my brain was like, Why is this the big thing for Hydra that's coming through?
It's
here?
Literally their symbol.
Their symbol.
I just made that same connection just good now. Stuff. Also,
same.
Yeah. However, I was going to turn it into a joke and say they all have tentacle fetishes. And then I was also going to say, thank you. Thanks. I was also going to say, when I first saw it, I was like, wait, how is Starro in this also?
It's our first DC Marvel call.
He had less tentacles.
Man, if you have not seen The Suicide Squad, please watch it. It's a damn good movie.
I didn't hate it.
All right, I will take that. And so we see Captain Carter said, maybe we need a plan, after making a joke previously that her plan was the shield. And Steve's on the ground. Get me in the suit. And Steve's just laying by. We see this suit in kind of this like, you know, almost... like he's just captured and everything, but Steve's just laying on the ground right beside it. This was weird. There was a lot of different things going on really quick here.
Okay. First of all, the fact that Peggy was like, I don't need a plan. I've got a shield. Have you ever heard Captain America say that? No, he's always like, we need a plan. And like Iron Man's like, I have a plan.
Attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But this also shows the stark differences between. See that? But I like that. It's they're both different Captain Americas, Britons, whatever you want to call them. I thought that was really cool.
And this may be a stretch for me, but I also like the flip flop of the. I got to be careful here. I mean, you will attack me.
What would ever make you think that?
generally, I don't even want to say generally, women are more depicted as subtle and quiet and timid on screen, correct? Okay, not saying it's good. Okay. It's almost like they flip their roles here. Like Steve plays that role more. Like he's more of the like timid, think about it kind of person. Peggy is full in like, nope, let's attack. I'm tired of the bullshit. Let's get this done. Like they almost flipped. I don't know how to say it. I'm not trying to be offensive.
Let me try to help you.
Help me.
Okay.
What I'm saying though, right?
Yes. Yes. So you're not coming from a bad place. Yeah.
And I would say that
it doesn't even have to do, again, I don't think it has to do with gender. I think that Peggy was born a fighter, is a fighter. Like she,
Steve, not so much,
has had to fight for everything that she's achieved. And Steve, yes, he's had to fight, but he's had to fight more intelligently because he's a small dude.
Yeah.
Love it. Emmy, love it. Love it. Yes. Good stuff. We see the tentacles.
I'm on fire.
The tentacles appear to be growing. It's spreading. It could devour Europe, Captain Carter says.
Would that be a bad thing? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, we have...
You listening, Ben?
We have European listeners, Emmy.
Okay, but the UK...
Don't say okay, but. You stop right there. Don't even say but. Emmy!
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I was trying to stop you so that I could make a point from earlier, and that came out of my mouth. Listen, I visited Spain. Spain is absolutely gorgeous. I would love to visit Spain again. I've been to Paris. Paris is gorgeous.
Smells
a little bit like wee-wee.
Boss, but I would just let you know, boss, we love you. And don't listen to me. You're
good. I've never been to England. But England's not, or the whole UK is not part of the European Union anymore. So, like, are they even really?
Right. We're just going to keep going.
No, I have a point. The whole point of me stopping you there was to say my point.
All right.
I'm getting shouty.
Yes, you are.
Did anybody else get Incredibles vibes from the Iron Man suit up in that little contraption? That was my first initial thought.
I never thought of that.
In the Incredibles, whenever the dad gets captured, and he's in that little circle thing.
Yeah.
With the, and they're like holding on to him. That was what I saw. It also looked like Captain Marvel from.
No, when I first saw it, I thought that Red Skull had gotten in the suit for some reason.
Oh, that's an interesting.
I don't know why, but my brain thought Red Skull is in the suit now.
That would have made some sense too, though. That would have been a crazy reveal.
Because he stole the, you know, he got Steve and. Also, why is the armor not tattered at all?
Yeah.
It got boom-boomed off the Alps.
Because it's indestructible.
Ah, good point, Howard Stark's assistant.
Yeah, we saw the Mark 1 in Iron Man. It was not indestructible.
This is not the Mark 1. This is a different universe.
But what makes you think it's not made out of vibranium?
Nothing about vibranium is mentioned in this entire episode.
But doesn't.
No, it's not. But the shield, I'm assuming,
you think
is
it's
made
assumed?
Out of vibranium.
You think it's assumed?
You think it's assumed it's not? You're just doing the same thing on the flip side.
I'm just asking.
You're doing the same thing on the flip side.
Nope. You're asking a question instead of answering
these questions.
And you're making an ass out of all of us.
With a question.
So we see that Howard, everything's in German. The tentacles are appearing to be growing. They're spreading. Howard, everything's in German. Red, green. Who paints a button blue? Don't tell me that a Playboy needs help pushing buttons, Peggy says. And we see they start going back to the portal. She gets a sword out of nowhere.
It was hanging on the wall. It's a castle.
I know.
That's the decor for a castle. Like, if Touché. I had a castle, I would be like, I want it.
And I can attest, there are swords hanging in castles. I've been to one.
So, okay. I want it decorated.
All right. I stand
as though we don't shit in a hole. And also, we fight things a lot.
And we don't have wet wipes.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yes, exactly. Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, go for it.
He mentions Hedy Lamarr, who is a real person. That dated Howard Hughes. She's an Austrian actress. She was in 30 German, Czech, and Austrian films.
Was she in Playboy?
No, but he's a Playboy, so it makes sense that he would have dated her.
Oh, okay.
Because she was very pretty. But she was also very, very smart, because with a composer whose name I didn't write down, I'm so sorry, she co-invented a radio guidance system for Allied torpedoes during World War II.
That is awesome. That is really awesome.
So she was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame in 2014 after she died in 2000.
I was going to say she's probably already passed at that point, but
yes.
Yeah, better late than never.
But she was inducted, and she has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for her movies, because she was an actress also. And she also, while she dated Howard Hughes, helped him with his aerodynamics for his airplane.
His dynamics of aeroplanes.
He flew airplanes, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, that's where the history's back. Hey, it was like, Emmy, I know all about this except for
stop while you're ahead. You don't. Yeah. But I love that. And so
she helped him with his aerodynamics.
Really cool callback there. And so we see Steve Rogers show up, and he's like, "Did you miss me?" And Peggy Carter says, "Every second." And Bucky with the best line of the entire show: "Who ordered the calamari?" I know that's a callback to our earlier discussion. And I'm going to push it back to hell. I can end this. And Steve goes, "Wait, you owe me a dance lesson." And Clinton cringes. And yes, how about this?
Also, it's a callback with her saying, "I can end this." Doesn't Steve say that when he's on the plane about to crash it?
Something like that. Yes. Like, "I need to end this," or something like that. And
yeah, when he's talking on the radio.
Oh, and then doesn't she say, like, "But we have a date"?
Yeah. Yes, but we have a date. And they make a plan. And she even says, "Yes, Saturday night," similar to the first one. Mm-hmm. Everything explodes. Steve watches on stunned. The Tesseract is the only thing that remains as Steve collapses on his knees. And
it wasn't that far to fall, if we're being honest.
And it probably hurt his hands with his knees digging into them.
What?
Anyway. He fell down to his knees. I was thinking grabs his knees.
We're done. We're done. No, stop.
I was making a short joke, and then you just made it
super pervy. And so we'll see that.
No, it wasn't trying to be pervy. When you said he fell to his knees, I thought he was... In my brain, I thought he just like hunched over and put his hands.
We're done.
Humped over.
Put his hands humped on over. His knees. It's getting worse. Okay, so
you're making it worse.
You're saying it.
You won't let me finish. You interrupt me.
You said he's humped over.
Hunched over is what I meant. When you said that, I thought you were saying.
I'm sorry.
In my brain, I pictured him just hunched over, grabbing like his knees. And like, "Oh, we failed."
Grab your knees and kiss your ass.
Goodbye. So that joke, you can just cut all that out.
No, how's that? That's beautiful stuff. So
is it?
Is it?
And that sound dumb.
And so we see. No, you don't. The Tesseract brings in Peggy and the tentacles everywhere, and we see Nick Fury. And I love this line: "Put down the sword," similar to Loki, "Put down the spear." This was really cool. Is this Nick? Is
the
this
scepter?
Or is it the scepter? Sorry. I thought you said the spear. So. Is this Samuel L. Jackson voicing it? Because if not, it sounds identical. It is. Okay. I thought this was so good. And I love that Hawkeye's like, "Hey, that's Captain Carter." Like, no, Fury's going to know that.
You even hate him in this universe.
Yes, because I'm like, Fury's going to know who the hell that is.
Guess who it is that voiced him.
Hawkeye. Who voiced Hawkeye?
Jeremy Renner.
Is it really Jeremy Renner?
Yeah,
for that one line, I did not know that.
I was like, he's probably already on set for filming Hawkeye, and he was like, "Yeah, I'll record this one line."
The new Disney Plus series, Hawkeye, is coming out.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Kevin Feige let us know. Allegedly. All right. So it's really cool though. And where's Steve Rogers is the first thing she asks. I had a problem with this a little bit because she just came. I don't know where she's been. And I'm just being honest. Peggy Carter, I don't know if her first line would be. I know Steve's was, "I had a date," you know, but he was talking about the game. He was trying to piece together, "Where am I? What's this?" And then all of a sudden he's like, "Well, He's like, are you going to be okay? He's like, yeah, I just had a date. So he thinks of Peggy as soon as he comes out of everything. She's like, where's Steve Rogers? It just felt, and I know everything is kind of rushed and condensed. This just didn't feel like a Peggy Carter line to me. And I don't know. It just felt very like Steve and Peggy. I don't know. A little forced on my end. Am I just being too critical here?
A little forced on your end.
Oh, geez.
Peg got you pegged, didn't she?
Yeah. Am I being too critical?
I have seen a couple things that are saying that this is whatever realm that she went into is kind of like the quantum realm that 70 years could have been like she could have instantly gone through a portal out of another portal. It could have been instantaneous for her.
Well, okay. Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, that's fair.
Very good point, Emmy. Very good point.
But she also realizes where she's at. She's not in the same place she was if she did go somewhere else for a long period of time. And the last person that spoke to her was Steve. She's back out and into this place that she knew when she went in.
Much
so
like-
then maybe she's making sure that Hawkeye isn't Steve. Like, damn, you aged very ungracefully. Where's Steve? And she's eyeing Hawkeye and she's like, it better not be you because I'm not sleeping with that.
We're not dancing, you ugly shit.
Much like this entire episode. Tangling. Much like this entire episode. I completely agree with both of you. Like I that really well said, guys, completely agree.
Also, I'm real sad, not so much that Steve's going to be, it's 70 years later and Steve will be old now, but Bucky too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We're not going to have Bucky frozen.
Because Nick Fury does say the war ended 70 years ago. And she goes, of course, we won the war. And so 70 years has passed. Old Buck, old Steve.
Old Buck and Steve, like maybe they just got together.
Okay. But what I want to happen is for her to go to the nursing home where Bucky and Steve are.
And they're just pranking and they're everybody. Just, they're just doing pranks they're on just everybody. There,
like, Steve, do you remember me? And he goes, I poop my pants. What did you do? I poop my pants.
At some point later on, I feel like Steve lost his arm in like a tragic.
Steve lost his arm?
Huh?
Steve lost his arm?
Oh. Well, you know what? Either way, honestly.
Well, Bucky loses. Bucky makes more sense here.
His leg in this universe.
Oh, yes. Okay. So Bucky loses his leg in a tragic raccoon accident.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes.
And so they prank everybody in the nursing home with the leg.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They just leave it every once in a while.
I'm more sad that Bucky's older instead of Steve. Is that bad?
I'm upset. But we've already seen old Steve. We have not seen old Bucky. So that's not sad. It's something we haven't seen before. Or, yeah. So it's like, I think
he's
fair.
He's just trying to catch in up my to mind, years.
In my mind, if Steve couldn't have Peggy, he chose Bucky, and they lived happily ever after.
Aw, and the end. Actually,
but they still kind of had pegging.
At the end, the Watcher says, yeah. Her one choice gave birth to a whole new history and gave the multiverse a new hero. As for me, these are my stories.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think that's how it ends, isn't it?
I observe all that transpires here, but I do not, cannot, and will not interfere, for I am the Watcher. And the credits roll. Episode 1, guys, in the books.
I've got a couple more points to make.
All right.
First of all, it's really upsetting to me that now we've seen two different universes, and 100% of them, Peggy and Steve are destined not to be together.
Oh, that's so sad to think about. Oh,
I think they'd take the hint, you know?
And yes, obviously. The universe, the multiverse is trying to push Bucky and Steve together.
Touche, Clinton. Yes. Touche, Clinton. Make Bucky and Steve happen. Do we call him Beave or Stucky?
Ooh, I don't like either one of
Stucky
I
sounds.
I kind of really like Beave.
I like Stucky. Clinton, you're going to have to break this tie, brother.
It's hard because Stucky sounds sticky, and I hate sticky. And Beave sounds like Beavis and Butthead, and that
okay,
ain't what I
you got to pick. Lesser of two evils. What is there? Beave. All right. Emmy wins. Beave is the Beave and Butthead. So we've got that. That's
his wonderful. Actual name is James.
Ducanon. Oh, so Ducky or Stames?
No, Jeeve. or
Jucky?
Thames.
Oh, I put James.
Jucky.
Like, where in the hell did I get Jucky from?
Bucky and James. The same
I like
person.
Jeeves.
Okay, Jeeves.
I still Jeeves. Like Beeves.
I like Beeves too. I like Beeves and Stucky. Honestly, Beave. I think they're both
not Beeves.
Like leave it to be. Hey, Beef. Like leave it to Beaver. Oh, anyway, my mom used to make me watch that crappy show. Anyway, all right, we'll keep going.
Okay, so when Captain Carter comes out of the portal, mm-hmm. she is in what I am assuming is a SHIELD facility.
It's the same facility in the Avengers.
No, it's the same place.
Okay, who created SHIELD?
Your mom, I think.
I actually think it was Peggy Carter, but great guess.
Hold on. Without Peggy Carter, Hank Pym and Howard Stark. You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay.
So without Peggy Carter, could Steve have filled Peggy Carter's
yes.
shoes?
Yes. Is okay. exactly how, without Steve taking the serum, could Peggy fill his shoes? Yes. I think both are, yeah, I could see both of them doing that. I think they're wonderful.
But the same universe, guys. It could go any way.
Yeah, it I know, could.
That's, I'm speculating, okay? We said we were going to do that at the beginning, and I wanted to do that.
Spoilers and speculation ahead, confirmed. Here yeah. we are.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just did the speculating part. You guys need to start pulling your weight.
Ouch!
On the speculation. So in my head, Steve took over that role. And so
yes.
in Endgame, when Peggy does the creepy little look through the blinds, she'll see Steve walking around back
oh,
there.
Oh, I see that now. Yep. 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 Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And then these are my stories. I'm not sure. I don't watch like it's not true crime shows, but like what is it? Like Law and Order and the SVUs and right. the NCISs and all that. But isn't there one that's like, and these are their stories.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway,
I don't remember that is a catchphrase on one of the shows. I don't know which it is.
I don't either, but it sounds very familiar.
Law and Order, maybe.
I've seen a ton of TikToks where people are like, this is something that's implanted in my brain and I can't get it out. And then they like recite the whole thing, but it hasn't implanted in my brain. So I have no clue what it's like. Something like the,
what are you getting?
I don't
at,
even
Amy?
Know.
What
are you I don't even at? Know. I'm just, I just the similarities. As soon as I heard this, what are you trying to get me at? As soon as I heard this, that's what I thought of was the, and these are our stories, or these right. are their stories.
You're talking about the watcher?
Yes.
The narration?
Yeah. Yes.
These are my stories. Yep. Okay.
Do we have any post-credit scenes, Emmy? Or post-credit scenes, sorry. We don't have a post-credit scene. Do we have any credits that we want to shout out?
I couldn't remember if I did this one before.
All right. We'll have it again if we did.
And so I went ahead and got another one. And then I was like, shoot. Did I do that one before too? Okay.
All right.
So we've got our head of visual development and character design, Ryan Meinerding.
Sounds familiar.
Dang it.
Maybe I'm in an alternate universe. But but honestly, I mean, I love you to death.
Even if it is, it's just a Meinerding. I mean,
it's just a Meinerding.
We're not going to hold it against you.
All right.
It's fine.
What's your second
I've got
one?
Like two that I think that I might have already done
right.
together equals one. All it's right. like it's like one half and one half. Right?
I agree. What's the other one?
All right. Our storyboard artist, one of our storyboard artists, was Angelo Labuddy.
I've not heard that one. I can tell you Labuddy.
Labuddy.
Labuddy. My little Labuddy.
My little Labuddy.
That's what. So no one would know about Steve and Bucky in the nursing home. They would just say, that's my little buddy.
That's my little buddy.
That's my little buddy.
We've been roommates for 64 years.
It's my little buddy.
We're just roommates, though.
Just roommates. Guys, what if episode one, what if Captain Carter were the first Avenger? This was a great episode. Great start. There's not going to be some, okay, let's see what happens with Captain Carter. Maybe there is some crazy interweaving story.
I think that Captain Carter is the overlying character. I know this series is going to be episode by episode, but they really want to explore her story and she'll come back again. I've already,
in this
I
series,
know that for sure. I think they've, yeah.
I really didn't know that. I did not know that. Okay.
I think that they've also announced a season two, correct?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I mean,
they could do that easily, though. Wouldn't surprise me.
This is the most
alternate. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I agree. But guys, what if episode one, first animated episode for Marvel Studios, you know, this was a damn good time. I had a lot of fun. Emmy, Clinton, we'll start with you, Clinton, man. Final thoughts before we head on out and go with episode two starting next week.
I enjoyed this, and it exceeded, like I said at the beginning, my expectations. It was a lot more fast-paced than I expected. I thought it would be more of like a story, because we're so used to the Disney Plus series having hour episodes and they build. This one just jumps right in and is like, it goes and right into the action, right into the story. But it works because we know enough of the other story. Like, this was a variation of the first Avenger.
Yeah.
And we know enough of that story. And we're like, what if this happened instead of this? So they don't really have to do character building and things like that. We know the characters. And I really enjoyed it, besides the dance revolution.
Right.
Oh, but yeah, overall, it was really good. I want to watch it again.
Yep.
Because I feel like there's stuff I might have missed, but
definitely. Definitely. Clint, completely agree with you, man. This was such a, it was shot out of the cannon. It was really quick, but we've also known these stories. It was just a different take and a different twist, but also a really welcome take and a welcome twist. I really, really enjoyed it.
Sometimes it goes quick and it's still enjoyable. You know what I mean? All right.
Good old Peg.
I just want to see how silent we can make it. So I love this series. I'm excited about more. Excited to see what we see, the stories that they tell with basically no strings attached, nothing holding them back. Let's just do what we want to do. Very, very excited about the future of this series. And hopefully we do get a season two. Maybe it's confirmed, Emmy. Anyway, great, great series. Great, great show. Cannot wait to see what the future is, not only for What If, but for Marvel Studios Animated as well. And we will end with our own Captain Carter. Emmy, final thoughts. Take us on out of here. What was your final feelings on What If Episode 1?
All right. So I was really shocked at how much outside of just the Captain America universe that they were able to tie in to this one episode. And so I really enjoyed that. I already said I nitpicked a little bit about the lips. I enjoyed this one a lot, but it wasn't one that I was actually really excited for. I feel like this is like the shallow end of the pool. Like, we just hit zero entry. We just got our feet wet just a little bit, but they can get so much weirder. And I cannot wait. And
especially
so,
with the galactic stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
Which we've got, the next episode is the T'Challa episode.
Ooh, I didn't know that was episode two. I'm excited about that.
I think that there's a couple T'Challa episodes.
Is there?
The T'Challa becomes Star-Lord, right?
Yes, but I think the next episode is going to be where the Ravengers pick him up.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. So like I'm much more excited for that than I was for this episode. However, this episode pleasantly shocked me that I did enjoy it as much as I did, because it was like, I mean, it's not completely far-fetched to be like, oh, well, what if we picked Peggy Carter as Captain America or Captain whatever?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I think it was a big surprise for me too, because I didn't expect the personality and attitude she had, the go get it attitude, which I don't know why, because she's like that in the MCU.
And it's,
I don't
just
know
like
why
a serum, it brings more out of you.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. It amplifies what you already are.
Exactly.
And she's like that in her show and in the MCU. I mean, she's business and let's get this handled kind of person.
Yeah. But
I love seeing it played out though.
Yeah. Yeah. And that maybe that's why I enjoyed it so much, was because it was different than what I was expecting. Because I was just like, okay, well, we're going to have a female Captain America, but she's Captain Britain. She's got an umbrella and a teacup. or whatever the hell else we said, whatever episode.
Hell
that
yeah.
But like it was not that. It surprised me. And so I enjoyed it, even though I didn't think that this was gonna be one of the episodes that I was like really like I was excited for a new Disney Plus show, but it was like, oh, that's where we're starting. I liked
well,
it.
Well, all I thought of was you when I watched this. I was like, Amy's gonna love this.
That's all I thought of was me while I watched it too, but that's because I'm narcissistic.
All right. So we also got some patron feedback here that we wanted to talk about as well. So we reached out to some patrons on our Patreon. I can't talk. And so Keith responded, oh baby, if only I could post a video in this comic thread. LOL, I've got a video ready to go. I'll post on Twitter feed soon. And I'm just more than anything excited to see this art style. It looks cool and very Iron Giant-y. Don't worry, Keith. Mm. Yeah, so I thought that was a cool take, that Iron Giant-y. Before he even watched it, he thought that. So,
I didn't put that together.
I should have.
Well, I didn't listen to Keith's video on Twitter yet, but I will. Either.
Oh, well, don't worry, guys. I have it here ready to go. Are you ready to listen in?
Oh, we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're not going to save
yeah.
it for...
Hell yeah, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, no, this is a Patreon. He wanted to put a video in since he can't put
it... Oh, it's on Patreon.
Yeah, well, he couldn't put it in, so he put it through Twitter, but we will still listen to it just to honor him. So here is Keith from Twitter, but through kind of our Patreon. Keith, what's your thoughts on first episode of What If?
I want to see what if concepts hit the cutting room floor. You know what I mean? Like, what if Drax ran a taco truck? What if after Wakanda went public, Shuri started a YouTube channel where she reacts to DC movies? What if Eric Selvig somehow was able to travel to Asgard and learned about their fabrics and fashion and then came back to Earth only to start his underwear empire called Selvig's Rainbow Briefs? What if they made a good Ghost Rider movie?
Oh!
What are some smaller time what ifs that you guys would like to see?
Oh, that's a good one, Keith. What ifs that we would like to see? Oh.
What if Bucky and Steve got together?
Clinton's dying on that hill this episode.
I've got one.
What you got, Amy?
What if all of the Avengers... I don't know that I can say this and not be rude.
Oh, never mind, Emmy. Maybe hold it.
Maybe. What if the Avengers took place in a trailer park after a tornado?
That's actually really funny. Can you believe it? I shot an arrow and it just spun around and around. That's nuts.
What if that's what they had to fight was the tornado.
Oh, how are we going to build this storm shelter?
Hulk smash. Oh, what? Damn it. Not the trailer.
What if my dad wouldn't have died in 2002?
That got dark. Is there a barista here? Because it just got dark.
Emmy's face.
Okay, we're going to move on. We have Catherine Reed, who said, I'm looking forward to this show. It's going to be interesting. Thank you, Catherine. Appreciate your support on Patreon. You're wonderful. Alicia, a frequent commenter, said, spoilers, I was really excited about this episode because I love Agent Carter. I wish that show had lasted longer. I thought it was an interesting episode, but not great. It was very rushed, which made a couple things confusing. Definitely sounded from the epilogue like Captain Carter will be back, though, and I'm here for that. I saw some reviews from the press who got to screen the first three episodes, and they said that this one was the weakest, and the next one, T'Challa as Star-Lord, was the best. I'm really looking forward to that one and almost definitely going to cry. Is T'Challa voiced by Chadwick
Boseman? Yes. It's his last no, Marvel performance.
No, it's not. I was,
but I think
so. This is going to hit.
He's in more than one, though. I think it's not like this is. I think that there's 9 or 10 episodes, and I think that Chadwick Boseman voices T'Challa in more than one. Am I wrong?
There's ten. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, IMDb
know
today said that there was 9.
I will say to her point, I could see where people say it feels rushed because it did pick up very quickly. And it wasn't like it picked up quickly and we had an hour of it. It picked up quickly and there was 30 minutes.
Good point.
28-ish if you don't count the credits.
Oh, I completely agree.
So I could see where that is. I enjoyed the episode, but if I enjoyed this and it's the weakest, then I'm excited.
Touche, mm-hmm. sir. Touche. So
I think that's where I ended the episode too, was that it was like, I didn't expect this one to be my favorite. And I don't expect this one to be my favorite, but I was pleasantly shocked by how much I enjoyed it.
I completely agree with both of you. So thank you for all our listeners for reaching out. Really, really appreciate it. And that's where we'll end it, guys. So Captain Carter, let's see more of her. I don't care if it's actually, I don't care if it's animated or not. I actually want to see live action Captain Carter. So let's just see that. That's what I want to see. Great, great start for Marvel What If. Cannot wait for the future. All right. Final words. We got our final thoughts. This is different, Clinton. Final words before I hit the magic button.
Colonel Cock can suck my dick.